CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. You made it to this Wednesday morning's edition of the Gareth Cliff Show at CliffCentral.com, and that means you're awake and you're conscious and you're aware and you're not stupidly stumbling around the world, unaware of how to get things. I'll just listen to whatever happens to be on some device that I climb into the vicinity of. I'll just listen to that. That'll be fine. And it's not like my time matters or anything. You see, you've chosen to be here. That's the difference. Always have to explain that to people. They're like, don't you miss radio? I go, nope. Because the quality of people who listen to you is just 10 times better than anything you can get on radio. People who listen to us here, they've chosen to be here. They just hop in the car and hope that some moron was playing the right song. Because that's really what people listen to radio for. I
like their music.
Idiots. So we've got Simpiwe Mtetwa, we've got Mbulelo Tinta, you got you, me, and what else could you possibly need to start your day? We're going to look after you through the course of this morning. We've got Sean Sanders from Revix popping in a little bit later on. That's always good. It's always good to talk to Sean, see what's going on in the world of crypto. I see that's looking a lot healthier than it has in previous weeks, and we'll find out from him why. Also, I saw on the crypto front that Ricardo Spagni, who's the guy who launched Monero, that cryptocurrency, and he's somebody I know. I've had lunch with him a couple of times. He's a South African dude, and he basically launched Monero. I saw that they arrested him in the U.S. Yesterday. How hectic is that? Some kind of...
Yes.
Yeah, some court date or something that he's missed or so. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out, no doubt. And I'll see if I can track him down to have a chat with him, but that'll be interesting. Because, I mean, you don't want to be arrested for anything at the moment, because with lockdowns, they can keep you away from, you know, the freedom for as long as they bloody well want. You wouldn't want to be locked
on
up.
On the crypto front?
I don't know. I mean, that's what's so confusing to me. Is like I've got to figure out what the details of the story is. I just saw it briefly and it flashed on my my news alerts yesterday. Ricardo. Fluffy Pony is what they call him on Twitter. Fluffy Pony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hard lines, Ricky.
I know. You gotta look after yourself. But you know, being locked up during lockdown is like a double lock. It's really not good. So we'll see what happens.
It's an inception. The inception.
Correct.
It's the emancipation inception.
Yeah. What do they call it? When you look in a mirror and then there's a mirror on the other side and you see yourself reflected. Infinite regression is, I think, what they call it. That's what happens during lockdown if you get locked up. Everywhere you look is just mirrors. Like Jacob Zuma's feeling that at the moment. He's like, I thought I would be having a good time in Nkandla, but now I'm locked up in lockdown. Except I don't think he's laughing. I think he's pretty miserable about it. He was apparently kicking and screaming a bit when they asked him to appear via, video link on his, his court date. And he's like, no, I want to appear in person. But they're like, but you can't because the country's shut down. He just doesn't seem to get it. Anyway, I wouldn't expect the former president to be totally au fait with technology. Can you imagine him with technology? Do you remember when he had that iPad and he used to use it for his presidential addresses and things that he'd do from the union buildings? And then he had bookshelves behind him, kind of like what I've got here, except there wasn't a single book on them. They were just empty. They were empty bookshelves. I remember seeing that picture and thinking, that's interesting. That tells you something. He's definitely in the president's office there, but are you telling me the president hasn't got any books on hand? You know, like maybe a French-English dictionary in case, you know, Emmanuel Macron phones you, or you've got some kind of book on protocol or whatever it might be. Nope, none of that stuff. He didn't have any of it. Wasn't important to him.
No, the what only language person? Is the language of corruption. That's it. Fluent in theft and looting. That's it, Conway. He has a degree in being able to manipulate situations. That's all you need, honestly. You don't need to read dictionaries. What's that?
Corona's Boring says, what, no drum magazines on the shelf?
Wow,
that's very stereotypical, but we'll take it. We can laugh at that shit here. You're allowed to. Oh man. Yeah, this is a good question. Tracy says, I'd love to know what Jacob Zuma's day-to-day living conditions are in his cell. Like, what is he doing all day? Is he watching TV? You get like three good meals a day. He's in which prison is he? An escort or something, right?
I think so.
What's that like?
Isn't he also in isolation because of his age and they don't want him to catch the virus?
He's probably like in a hospital cell or something, you know, because there's different rules. Like, we can all stop, just disabuse yourself of the notion that everybody gets treated equally. He's a former president, and there's absolutely no way he would be put in the jail that Simpiwe, Gareth, or Mbulelo, or you would go into. There's no way. We'd be in the, like, communal cells with all the really hardcore criminals, and terrible things would happen to us day and night, but not to him. I bet you he's, yeah, and you know, he's like a bit of a hero to criminals because he's the best of them all, right? He's like the super, he's like, oh, how much did you steal? Oh, you mugged a pensioner. I mugged the whole of South Africa. He's like, you fucking amateurs. Let me teach you how, you know? So I think he's a bit of a hero to the rest of the prisoners. They're like, oh, I'm Shalosi. Ah, I'm Shalosi. You know. Anyway.
He's a hero to all South Africans. Like, you know, for most of us who, like, can't stand him. But you just listen to, like, the furor around him. But it's a tribal mindset again. He is the king.
I've always said, you spoke about that so well on Monday. It's been ringing in my ears ever since. But I've never disliked the guy personally, you know. Some people who woke up and used to hate, like, Robert Mugabe. They used to be like, oh, that guy's the most evil man in the world. Look what he's done to his country. Look what he does to his people on a daily basis. Look at how awful he is. But my problem with anybody is you don't get bad and good people. That's really a terrible way of looking at the world, because it makes everything reduced to such a granularity that you really can't see any detail. Because on observation, every person you know, the ones you love and the one you hate, or the ones that you hate, all of them have interesting characteristics, right? They all have different kind of personality attributes, and some of them are really good at this and bad at that, and they're interesting on close observation. Maybe because I'd met him a few times, and I'd spoken to him on the phone once or twice, the former president, I've kind of never had a personal problem with him. And, you know, if he was, I could say without feeling embarrassed about it that I reckon he'd be interesting to talk to, and he'd be interesting to have at a dinner. Don't you think? I think so.
I don't know why people want to like their president. I've never, it's like, I don't want to like you. Are you good? I don't want to like the CEO of Tesla.
Yes, I hear you, but Mbulelo, what I'm trying to say is that people do bad and good things, right? There are people who, on the basis of their life, you judge them by their actions, and you determine whether or not they should, for example, be in prison or whether they should be left alone. That I get. But I'm saying, to just binary reduce someone to good or bad, like, Robert Mugabe was by far the most educated president in the world when he was president, right? He had a couple of doctorates, a master's degree in something. He was a very smart man. There was no way he was an idiot. But you'd get these people who would dismiss him out of hand. They'd just be like, oh, he's just a moron. Now, I think that's very short-sighted. You don't get to truly appreciate the amount of information that we have on people now. You know, as I can understand, in the Middle Ages, they would call you, you know, Mbulelo the Hunchback. So you would be known as because you had a hunchback. That would be the only important thing anyone knew about you. You know, now you get these people who still use medieval thinking. They're like, Robert Mugabe, the despot. And he was that. Sure, that may even have been his most important characteristic. But don't for a moment dismiss the whole person just because you don't like the way that they ran a country. And, you know, blame the people who put them in control of that country if you really want to be cross with somebody. That's what you've got to do. Because, you know, in a really important, powerful, connected situation, the very best people will become even better, and the very worst people will become even worse. But you can't write off someone completely. You have to...
The nature of... Yeah.
You have to zoom in a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And I'm by no means excusing his behavior, because people also, it's really dumb, but people jump to the conclusion that then you're defending the person's behavior. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that every person on earth, even the most evil people that have ever lived, there's something about them that, you know, you would say, oh, that's kind of, he's a nice dad to his kids, or, you know, he's a really good lover, or or whatever. And we know Jacob Zuma was a good lover. I mean, ask any of the 200,000 women he slept with.
No, shout out to him.
Very charming. Mm. That's all I had to say. Yeah. Very, very charming.
Didn't he hit on you a couple of times there, Simpiwe? I mean, you know, the Mtetwas are well known to the Zumas. So,
you know, it was really hard to resist him. You know, it took all of me to say no. I would love to, but I can't. You know, I was brought up with morals, and I just had to decline. But it was a very hard decline. You know, I had to think about it for a couple of days.
Oh, wow, Simpiwe.
Yeah. He didn't look, yeah. Look,
the very nature of Pure turning down Jacob Zuma, that would be such an awesome situation.
God, I'd love to see that. Yeah.
but the very nature of mankind, when you, as you get older, is like super idiosyncratic, as you've said. But for me, somebody who I consider very wise in my life told me, as we grow up, you know, true maturity is when you realize that within your mother and father is a good father and a bad father. You know, like you were saying,
yes,
is that both of those exist in the same person.
Yes, correct.
And, you know, they're always rubbing up against each other. And, you know, one wolf sometimes is winning and the other. And that's when we grow up, we start to realize that our mothers and fathers aren't perfect. And you can extrapolate that all the way out to Robert Mugabe and whatever. So I couldn't agree more. So it's such an awesome point that you've made.
And like, appreciate that stuff without having to judge sometimes. Like, if it's not your problem. You know, right now, Jacob Zuma isn't our problem. He certainly was the country's problem. Now he's the problem of the justice system, and he's the problem of his own deranged family. But to sit up and keep yourself up at night worrying about or thinking about or being angry about him is just like the most pointless thing in the world. That I can't understand. It's like people who obsess over people who are none of their business. Yeah. Interesting comments are coming through here. I love this. Carl needs some help. So maybe you can help him here, Mbulelo. Can I ask a question? I'm a guy, but lockdown hasn't been kind to my tummy, he says. I seem to have developed a gunt. What is the male equivalent? No, it's called a gunt for a man as well. It's definitely called a gunt. So if you've got if you're a guy and you stand up facing, if you stand up parallel to the mirror, in other words, you have to look over your left or right shoulder at the mirror, right? And you're naked. And you stare at your body, and it goes chest, and chest is closer to your spine than stomach. Or the stomach hangs over any part of the lower extremities, including over the pubis bone. Then you have what we call a gunt, I'm afraid. So if you look in the mirror and that's what you could see, it's not a boop, Tracy. It's called a gunt. It really is. It's just the most horrific thing, and we can't help you. You got to exercise your tits off and your gunt off in this case, and you have to eat pretty much zero for a couple of weeks. And you've got a month or two until spring is properly here. You know, August is definitely not spring. And I would say spring only really kicks in towards the end of September, even though 1st of September is technically spring day. So get exercising now. You can do this. I mean, it gives you 3, 4, 5 weeks. 5 weeks, you can do a lot. You can really do a lot.
100%.
Just in terms of eating, you could sort out probably 80% of the gunt, depending on how big
carbs.
It is.
Oh.
Yeah,
no carbs. You see, if people could learn to cut the sugar and the carbs, like cut the bread out. Mm-hmm. You, listen, if you could just cut bread and not put sugar in your tea for the next 5 weeks, I guarantee that your gunt would just become an ant. You know what I mean? You could drop the G there just by dropping sugar and bread.
It's a terrible word, though, gunt, isn't it? Awful.
But it describes exactly what that is so beautifully, because it's as gross as the name sounds, you know?
Ruth is very proud of herself. She got a full night's sleep after being oxygen all night long. COVID pneumonia is a nightmare. Lots of blessings and happy to be here. Shit. COVID pneumonia. You know, I found out that my dentist, I heard yesterday, my dentist is in hospital and she's in really like bad shape with this COVID. And she's survived through months and months of this stuff, working in people's mouths, basically. And I thought, you know, and she, well, the last time I saw her was what, two, three months ago. She said to me, ah, you know, I'm not worried about this thing. And I thought, well, if she's not worried, I'm not worried. And then I hear she's in hospital. I'm like, oh, Jesus, this, then I need to take it seriously again. So who knows?
I hear she's really committed to her job. She really sinks her teeth into it.
Oh my God. That is, how cuck is that? I mean, really. Simpiwe, do you want to lean over and smack him in the head or shall I? Unbelievable. Like, that's so bad. So bad.
Appalling.
All right. Better look out for the evil behind good rather than the good somewhere in evil. Yes.
Sure.
Yes. That's good advice, Michael. I like that. But at the same time, you know, I think you find what you look for. You know, if you're focused on bad things, sure, there's plenty of that to be found. You don't have to look very far.
Speaking of which, you've just brought up something fantastic there. I don't know if you remember a while ago you were saying people about blue hair are a big warning sign.
Yes.
I think you've been saying it. And I did address that with Simpiwe, and that started a whole situation in the office.
Oh.
Because she took it personally, and I said, I don't really want to get into
it. Okay, well, let her explain it, because otherwise you're attacking her again. But I will say that yesterday I was at the office, and Simpiwe's hair is this very interesting plum. I wouldn't even say it's purple, it's plum color. And Dori was wearing exactly the same color on her top. And the two of them looked like they'd coordinated things. And then Spike walks in, and he's almost wearing the same color. And I'm like, what are you people? Are you all on some WhatsApp group where you decide what color you're going to have on your head or your body today? Unbelievable. You go ahead, Simpiwe. Defend yourself. Again, you seem to be doing this a lot on the show.
Well, this is not even me trying to defend myself. I'm trying to understand where Mulelo was coming from, because he's just like, yo, the bright hair, the purple hair just screams, you know, it screams something that I just don't want to involve myself in. And that's what I was interrogating. I was asking him, what does that scream? I'd like to know. I'm just curious to know. I'm not too phased with what he has to say, but I'm very curious to, like, what does it scream? Because I just changed my color because, hey, I mean, what I wanted to do.
You're way more polite than Bulelo and I, so I'm going to read between the lines here. What you're basically saying is you couldn't give a shit what Bulelo thinks, but you want to know what he means when he goes, hey, you know, and it gives you like either a sideways compliment or a sideways insult. You're not sure what it is. So
yeah,
when I brought this up, because I'm going to take responsibility for bringing this one up, and I'll explain it very succinctly, and then we can move on, because I really, it's not meant for you. Normally, when I see particularly women under the age, in fact, no, there's no age limit, because you could be 60 and do this. Let's just say mostly straight women who do this, because I suppose there are different markets for, you know, for lesbian or bisexual or transgender women who do this. But I'm talking more especially about my experience with straight women and hair color. If it's a naturally occurring hair color, your black, brown, blonde, red hair, whatever it is, those are naturally occurring hair colors. I don't have any issue with it at all. It's not a signal of anything. Lots of women dye and color and change and tint and highlight their hair. That's absolutely nothing. There are no alarm bells at all. When someone goes with a bright and shocking color like you have, 90% of the time, 90%, I'd say it's that much of a certainty to me, they are a raving, raving lunatic and a danger to society. They are the kind of people you must avoid at all costs. 10% of them are just experimental, fun, playing around. They're fashion forward. They're not particularly interested in what other people think of them. They're doing it for their own pure enjoyment, experimentation, satisfaction. It's something they want to do. They just enjoy it. But the other 90% are definitely, definitely insane, bunny boiling, crazy, will murder you in your sleep, are completely fucked up in the head. Those, that's like absolutely without a doubt what I think of 90% of the women who have unnatural hair colors. So you decide, Simpiwe, what, you know, are you in the 10% or in the 90?
Well, I'd like to think I'm in the 10%. But I saw someone make a comment about like blue lipstick. Mm. I went through that phase, like having like bright color lipsticks. And yeah, now it's the hair, but I've always kind of liked kind of my hair. And yeah, like it's interesting to hear that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, here's someone who's really, this person is self-aware, not self-absorbed. Prinola, she says, Prinola says, that is so true. I have bright pink hair and I'm nuts. See? That's what I'm talking about. It's great. Stink Mina says, danger to society. Sun Marie says, just being different. Here's Nell Silver with and blue lipstick. Stay away. So that's interesting. And then Michael says, we can also blame Billie Eilish for a trend towards hair color. Then the SJWs picked up on it. Now no one wants to call their daughter Karen. Yeah, sure. I'll bet you the name Karen has seen a huge decline in popularity since Karen. It's seen an enormous decline in popularity since the coronavirus pandemic and the fact that that name became a label of like the worst kind of terrible person you want to live near. You know, it's funny. I saw Karen Morn, who we've had on the show a couple of times. Karen Morn, the news journalist. I'm not sure which news organization she works for now, but she put up this really, really terrible coronavirus thing a while ago. And look, I mean, you know, I don't have any issue with Karen Morn, but she, when you do this, you're going to get some terrible people responding to you. And I'm not in favor of anybody just being mean for no good reason. I think it's completely uncalled for people to just be absolutely mean out of hand and just treat everybody, you know, around them with no sense of decency or kindness at all. But she put up this thing where she basically announced to everybody that she was in hospital with COVID. And she said, please pray for me. I'm trying to find the message, but I'm not going to find it now. Anyway, she put up this message saying, you know, please pray for me. I've got COVID and it's I'm really scared. And people were like, oh, I hope you die in hospital. And, you know, terrible things. People are just very easy. And then she tweeted, I saw yesterday, or Instagram, I can't remember which one it is. And she said, I'm back. And then commented about like Jacob Zuma's trial or whatever. And somebody who's pretending to be Claudia Motsoeneng, because it's a parody account, obviously, said, welcome back, Satan. It's like, yes, people are so mean. They've got no chill. Right? How's that?
No, welcome back, people Satan. Are mean. Listen, if you're in the public sphere, people are mean. There are mean people on this planet. But I think what happens with people who step up and they go through the echelons is that they hear less and less no's. You know what I mean? Because you're the center of – if she's the news anchor, she's the center of power in whatever world she lives in for 2 hours a day. But very rarely will she hear, no, that hair's terrible. You're putting on a bit of weight. Mm. She'll never hear that. Mm-hmm. All she's hears, oh, you're unbelievable. Oh, yes, you were – you know what I mean? And so that when you realize the real world is full of people that are deeply unhappy, you know, had traumatic past, and they're going to let it out on social media now. And if you're in the public sphere, and if just deal with it. I'm sorry.
If your name is Karen.
That's not insensitive.
And if your name's Karen, you're double the hatred that's going to flow your way, you know? Oh, by the way, I went for a haircut yesterday after we talked about this with Lebang on the show, you know, for like half an hour. We were talking about like, you know, where people get their haircut and what kind of processes it is, how expensive it is, blah, blah, blah. So I went up the road. And a woman called, because I was at the office, and I had a gap between meetings. So I went to the nearest shopping center, and I went to a place there. And, you know, they do, it's not a hairdresser, it's a like a male salon barber type place. 32 minutes. This woman called Tertia cut my hair. 32 minutes. Amazingly fast, amazingly efficient. You know, I don't really care. Like, I don't have instructions for my hairdresser, so I just sit down and go, like, tidy it up. And then they must just figure it out. And if I come out looking like a moron, then I'll look like a moron for a couple of days and I just won't go back there again. That's that. I'm not a complainer. I'm not going to go, oh, that's not really what I wanted. You know. So luckily it was good. And I just love the fact that it was so quick. Like 32 minutes, man. That's amazingly quick.
And what did you get? Chatty? Like, no, hey, how are you?
None of that
and,
shit.
What's happening?
You sat down in the chair, said, okay. Give us a little trim. She did that. And then she also did that very, very nice nose waxing thing, which I absolutely love. So that was in the 32 minutes. So I got my hair cut, washed, got the nose wax thing done. Fucking great. Got out of there. And it took me, including getting in the car, paying for parking, walking in and walking out, between leaving the office and getting back to the office, it was probably about 45 minutes. That's really efficient. I like that.
Fantastic.
Robin.
I'm still shocked at hearing how short it takes guys to get their hair done.
Uh-huh.
For a very long time, I had like an afro and I used to do braids. And it's a whole day event. Like,
yeah.
I know if I was going to get my hair done, I'm not doing anything that weekend. Like, I'm fully booked, you know, and then my head's going to be sore for the next couple of days. And now that I've cut my hair, it's like, oh, wow, like, okay, it takes 30 minutes. Yeah, sure.
It can be quick.
What do I do
well,
now?
I mean, listen, I mean, those
oh, okay.
braids and afros and things, that really is a process. You just have to settle into that chair because you're going to be there a long ass time. There's some very nice compliments for you this morning, Simpiwe. Robin says, your hair looks beautiful, Simpiwe. What a lovely color. Onkhopotse says, I love your hair color, Simpiwe. See? So it's not, you don't have to listen to me and Bulelo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. Obi Kenobi says, my hair is done like Mbulelo. Cheese cop, 10 minutes.
Sure. Good for you.
There we go. Michael also saying, your hair looks
fair. You get your hair cut. Do they put king spirits once they're done?
Absolutely not. No, no, no.
Spirits? No. What are you talking about?
So, you know, at a cheap hairdresser, what they do is after they've cut it, they think you put like methylated spirits on the hair. I've never known what they think the science is behind there, but I'm very, very clear. There's also a reason why I'm willing to pay a little extra, bring hair products and... You're not putting spirits in my hair. No, not that guy. It's a thing in the it's a thing in the hood, Gareth, just so you know. Like mostly in the hood, the hairdresser cut your hair.
Taught
like,
me things.
Basically chop your head.
And it's just like...
Basically chop your head.
No, that's not good. You don't want that.
Burns like hell.
Yeah, not only is that probably really bad for you, but it's it doesn't sound like it looks nice either. how much did I pay for the haircut? I was 300 and something. So it wasn't even so bad. But then my brother tells me it was his birthday yesterday. So we were all together for his birthday at their house last night. He says he found a dude up the road, $100 for a shave and a haircut. So I feel like
Turkish guy.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Turkish guys are, seeing the Turkish guys are taking over. That we'll see.
Yep. All right. Very good. In the 1980s, there were men and boys barbershops for 12 rand for short back and sides. Yes, but Errol, that was the 1980s. I mean, you know, there was a lot that was cheap in the 1980s. Chappies. You could buy handfuls of chappies for like 10 cents back in the 80s. So let's compare apples and apples, if you don't mind. just quickly before we get to some headlines, Bulelo, I watched the Olympics again last night. I just love that pole vault, man. I was watching these guys jumping. 6.02 meters was the Swede who won the pole vaulting last night. That's 6 meters. Yeah, high that is. And the best part is the pole that they use doesn't even come up to where the polar cross that they have to get over is. In other words, they have to get to the very top, the apex of that pole. Once it's bent and it's straightened out and, you know, the springiness has kind of propelled them forward and up, they then also have to push up and over the other bar. It's unbelievable. I'm blown away by people like that. It's phenomenal.
They're freaks. Freaks of nature. And just, it's awesome that every 4 years they humble us. They're just like, no. There are apex versions of what this is what it's supposed to be. And you're actually just, You are the scum beneath the bubble gum beneath shoes compared to me.
I feel like I'm rooting different. Around in the trash, and I'm some kind of Homo habilis, you know, some kind of like backward caveman, primitive man when I watch these people on the Olympics. And I think, except the only place where I'd say that maybe I'm a little more evolved, Central Asia, their thing is definitely the weightlifting, Central Asia. There were a lot of people from Uzbekistan and Albania and Kazakhstan, and those are the people. And the names as long as your arm, you know, and font size 10. These people are like from, you know, Turkmenistan, and they've done their whole life since they were 5 year old boys is pick up heavy shit, and like they lift the stuff. That's what they do. And then you find out that you're actually watching the women's one. You're like, wow, oh, okay. Unbelievable. That's pretty amazing. That's their thing in Central Asia. That's their thing is the weightlifting and the powerlifting.
That's a big time technique sport. I'm tiny, but it's like I once tried to do it. The technique is too much for me. I couldn't even handle it with the uber lightweights. The technique's phenomenal. It's just something else, man. I did cry in the fetal position 2 days ago at home after I went home. Was because I watched a ladies' heat 400 meter. So that's one lap of the track.
Yes.
And it was the hurdles. And like in high school, I was a decent, like pretty decent athlete. They were doing a faster time in the 400 hurdles heat for the lady who finished last than my 400 time.
No hurdles.
Like no hurdles. And I was, you know, in high school, school, what's that? I'm just doing the athletics thing. These ladies look fine. They just look like they're going to go home and, I don't know, play Sudoku or whatever people do, you know? Just fine. 51 second lap. What?
I mean, Pranola here even says that the ladies' long jump was 7 meters yesterday.
Sure.
7 meters. Imagine being able to jump 7 meters. You could jump over rivers and shit. Like you could power yourself over roads. Like you think about like the highway with four lanes. You know, you could get over at least 2.5, 3 of those easily. It's so great. I love it. Then I suddenly look at the javelin and I'm like, wow, they invented this sport back in ancient Greece, and there are people doing this now. It's amazing. Love it. And Namibian won silver for the 200 meters, apparently.
Oh, has that just happened? Because when was the 200 meters? This morning?
I don't know.
Must
be a bit of a ball ache, though, with the time difference, right?
Yeah, it's tough to watch the Olympics properly now, especially for us, because we're sort of here, you know? Mm-hmm. But we're also in the presence of greatness, and something which I'm not very good at is appreciating that. Like, nobody appreciated, if you're a sports fan, Tiger Woods when he was doing it. You know, there was 10 years where you were actually watching something you'll probably never see again. We're seeing true greatness. Usain Bolt, okay, we did appreciate him. They sort of stuffed him down our throats. But the Jamaicans have another one now, and she is incredible. She's done something which has never been done before, Elaine Thompson-Herah, right? Yeah. She's just won something very, very special. It's called the double-double. So it's when you win the 100 and the 200 in the Olympics at the same time, but she's now done it twice. She did it in Rio, and she did it now. You got to think, you know, what makes these people special is 4 years apart, what you have to do, and 5 years apart now, is essentially produce for 30 seconds. You cannot be off for 30 seconds of your life every 4 years, and she's nailed it. It's just remarkable. And we must appreciate these people. We may never see something like that again. She is a gift to humanity. I mean, someone like that. It's quite incredible.
I agree with you.
So, yeah, somebody in history has, history's just gone down at the World Games, right, which is the Olympics. So I thought that was cool. And you know, the Jamaicans bring a different vibe. They're not like us squares here in the West, you know. They've just got that cool thing. I think every Jamaican is just your grandmother was Jamaican.
Yeah, they seem like Jamaican. Yeah, they just seem to have more fun in life. They seem to take life less seriously, and it's that whole Caribbean vibe. They just, you know, in Jamaica, yeah, you want to smoke weed, smoke weed. You want to go and have a sleep on the beach under a straw hat, you do that. You want to go and work, work. That is not, they have a totally different approach to life. And I'm telling you, their approach is much healthier in the long run. We put ourselves under unnecessary pressure. I'd like to go and visit Jamaica. I've never been there. I've got to go and see it for myself. Anyway, Simpiwe's got a couple of good questions that we'll get to just after headlines. But let me help you out with a couple of those quickly in case you are wondering what the hell's happening in the world. We do need to occasionally pay attention to what's happening. So let's take a look. Where shall we begin? Headlines. Ugh. So much of it is just stuff you don't want to hear. But let me see what I've got here for you. Oh, by the way, we'll also be joined by Jaco Voigt, who is the CEO of Catalytic, the host of Unbundled here on Cliff Central. He's got an interesting announcement to share with us, which will affect you, especially if you're a small and medium-sized business. And if you're an owner of those businesses, you work for one, because we want to help you after the year and a half, almost 2 years of lockdown that we've had. And we've got a plan, which I'm pleased to say Jaco came up with this plan, and it's a good one to help those businesses. So if you'd like to know more, stick around until 7:30 and we'll tell you everything you need to know. So apparently the election date is set for the 27th of October, pending a court decision. This is good news, because if they can move your elections, they can do anything to you. The date for the local government elections will remain the 27th of October until a court decides otherwise. That's according to COGTA Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who says the date will be officially gazetted as required by the Constitution. The IEC is approaching the court. They're the ones asking for a delay in the elections. Former Chief Justice Dikgang Moseneke found that the elections in October would not be free and fair if we hold them then. Dlamini-Zuma said service delivery shouldn't be affected if local government elections don't go ahead in October. So they're already covering their backsides in case they have to move it. But we have to ask ourselves, who would benefit from moving the elections? The people of South Africa? One or two of the political parties? The IEC themselves? Who?
Wait, hold on. Why are they saying service delivery will be affected? There is none. How can you affect something that's not happened?
Exactly. Yeah. I love the way Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is like, yeah, no, service delivery won't be fair. What? What are you talking about? Hello? What service delivery? There isn't such a thing. Amazon is going to launch a Lord of the Rings series in September. This is very exciting for those people who loved the Lord of the Rings movies and the Hobbit movies, which came out after that. The streaming service Amazon hopes to release a yet-to-be-titled series which will rival success of the Game of Thrones. First episode will be available on the 2nd of September, 2022. You know what? Don't tell us then until you got something to show us. I mean, Simpiwe, am I right? Like, who wants to know a year and a half in advance? Huh? Or a year in advance, in this case. Really?
It's like the build-up to it. It's
going to wait
so
a whole year?
You get excited and, you know. I think a year is a bit of a stretch, but I get the, you know, some people are like fans and they already know what's happening in their lives in a year or two.
I can't get excited about something a whole year in advance. It's mad. Anyway, Amazon acquired the TV rights to the cult classic in 2017 for an estimated $250 million. Yo, who doesn't...
Pocket change.
Who still thinks $250 million, right? If J.R.R. Tolkien was still alive, his estate obviously gets that. So either his heirs or the publishers or whoever. That is $250 million paid by the world's richest man. I think he just fell off that position, by the way. But $250 million for the imagination of one person who was born in the Free State. Just think about that. It means that if you still think that your greatest talent, your greatest skill, and your greatest opportunity lies outside of you, you're not paying attention. Am I wrong? In his head, imagination, he invented a universe, this J.R.R. Tolkien. He created characters. It was all his imagination. And hard work, sitting down there writing. I'm sure he threw away draft after draft after draft of every chapter. But it was in his head. That people 100 years after he lived can still pay $250 million for the rights to that series. That just shows you someone you meet today could have the next $250 million idea in their head. They don't have to make something.
Famed British drunkard Winston Churchill said, and quite rightly said, the empires of the future are the empires of the mind. And we're starting to see that. You know, back in the day, you just used to go down the blacksmith or whatever you do and sharpen the knife and go home. You get paid for your toil. And now ideas and intellectual property. So he was right in between putting down that liquor. Eh?
And I mean, listen, who won't acknowledge, as Bruce says here, that Tracy says, J.R.R. Tolkien inspired so many after him, especially Game of Thrones. And you could say Harry Potter. You could even say Star Wars. A lot of those were the at least the successors to what he started in terms of Lord of the Rings. And you could say C.S. Lewis's Narnia stuff. So if you put all that together and you add the amount of money that Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Narnia, and Harry Potter, you just put those five together, you have billions and billions and billions of dollars from the imagination of ordinary people. So come on, what's wrong with you? Start writing now. You might just be a billionaire in a 10, 20 years' time. Do it. What do you got to lose? Just a couple of billion. All right. This is an interesting point. Wasn't Lord of the Rings that gay porn series? Carl, thanks.
Who said that?
Carl. He says
someone's on fire.
He says Lord of the Rings is a gay porn series. Yeah, very good. All right. So those are some headlines. I'm not going to go into too much of the other stuff. There's plenty to talk about. We don't want to get too heavy into the politics today. We save that for Thursdays, and tomorrow is Thursday, so we'll do the Burning Platform with Pumi Mashiko tomorrow. Lots of interesting guests coming on the Burning Platform in the next few weeks. You've got to listen every week. I don't want you to miss any of it. Last week, we had a great guy on. Week before, we had some great people on. Canthan rejoined us for a little bit, so you've got to stick around. In fact, we spoke about water security last week. And if you haven't listened to my interview with Chris Wyatt, you need to go and check that out, please. That is on cliffcentral.com. It's available right now as a podcast. It's a good hour long, and we cover a whole bunch of stuff. So if you're interested in politics, you're interested in what's going on in South Africa from the outsider's point of view, you need to listen to what Chris has to say. And then I'm so excited, guys. I just got this from someone called Julian Alfonso, and when I click on his email address, it's at gmail.com, and it says, the Federal Trade Commission has given the Inland Revenue Department $2 billion US dollars. I want to inform you, you've been selected to receive this fund. Isn't this great? To claim your fund, contact Mr. whatever his name is to direct you on how to receive the fund. And then it says, please send your bank details with it. So obviously, guys, this is what I've been waiting for. This is my billion. So how excited am I?
Sure.
Huh? Isn't that great?
Sure.
Yeah, lucky nice. Me.
Yeah, hey? Like, oh, what lucky. Will you do with that money? Oh. That's the best thing you're going to buy.
Oh, no.
It's exciting.
I don't know.
You could be like, I don't need this job.
Because it sounds so legit. It sounds so legit. It's too good to be true. Yeah. And I saw I saw after all of the talk of her for the last 2 weeks, Simone Biles eventually got bronze in the award ceremony yesterday, right?
And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because, you know, people always get caught up in once you've held one position about her behavior, it means that you hate her. No. Yeah. What I was saying, we spoke of idiosyncrasy. Anyway, I don't want to go over that. It's a great thing to say, okay, whatever she's going through, nobody knows. We've all, I think, come to that, is that she went through some stuff. She came back and won a bronze medal. It wasn't a gold. Okay, fine.
Sure.
But the sport needs her. And in this time, the world needs someone like her, like she is from, you know, that background. And
you know what?
She's just insane. She's a gift to humanity.
There's space for everybody. And you don't have to win all the time to be a winner. And you don't have to lose all the time to not occasionally be a winner. To be called a loser forever and in every circumstance. Some people have good days and bad days too. And you no one's perfect all the time. God damn it. Let's get to Sean Sanders. Let's talk a little bit about cryptocurrency this morning. It's always good to get an update from Sean on what's going on in the world. And there's lots of crypto news. Has there ever been a week where we've not had crypto news? I mean, that's the question, right, Sean? Hasn't ever happened.
Morning, guys.
Hey, man.
No, this is the most exciting market in the world, right?
Yeah.
So Are we on every week? You know, give people an update.
If we weren't on every week, we just wouldn't have enough time to discuss. In fact, as it is, we don't have enough time to talk to you about all these different things. But let's just talk for a second about. I saw he's been arrested, Ricardo Spagni from Monero, Fluffy Pony, as he's known on social media. I don't know the details of this. He says it's not a big deal. It's because he missed some court date or something. But he has been arrested in the United States. Maybe you know some detail about this. It sounds like a lot of the authorities are starting to get a little bit antsy about crypto. And here in this country, you discussed with us 2-3 weeks ago, those two guys in Cape Town who took one of their wallets and just disappeared with a whole lot of people's money.
Yeah.
So people are starting to pay the price for being crooks in this environment. I'm not saying that that's what happened with Ricardo, but it certainly happened with those other guys. And there are people investigating them at the moment, right?
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on the regulatory front. With Ricardo, I mean, he was arrested by U.S. authorities. There was a warrant out for his arrest in South Africa. I don't really have more details than that. It was actually with regard to something that apparently happened in, I think, 2008 or 2009.
Okay.
He was working for another company, and there was apparently fraudulent invoices that were provided. So it's actually got really nothing to do with crypto.
Okay.
But yeah, just so everyone knows, I mean, Fluffy Pony, as he's known, I mean, only in the crypto world do you have something like Fluffy Pony as a name. But Ricardo, he created Monero, which at one point in time was a top 10 cryptocurrency. I think it's sitting around 18 or 19 right now. And it's the world's most privacy-focused cryptocurrency. So your identity is anonymized when using this network. So a lot of people think that when you make a Bitcoin transaction or Ethereum transaction or Litecoin transaction, that it's anonymous. Mm. And the correct term is that's actually pseudonymous. So you have an identity. So just like your bank account number, that is tied to you. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, you could trace this back to you. And what Monero does is it actually obfuscates this transaction. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, great, well, that's used just by drug dealers and people that are looking to do dodgy things. But no, just like, you know, with data privacy, there's a lot of people out there that say, hey, no, it's not the government's right to have access to my information. Or would not have the right to access to what I'm spending my money on. So there was actually a really interesting use case, and there still is, for the likes of Monero, but the governments have clamped down really hard on the privacy-focused cryptocurrencies.
I wouldn't be surprised, and this is pure conjecture on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised because he represents a cryptocurrency that is privacy-focused, and because that is probably an area that governments are the most nervous about, that he would be on a lot of people's watch lists. If you're a bureaucrat who's interested in keeping an eye on what goes on the internet, I'm sure that Ricardo is one of those people everybody in the world's watching. And therefore, if they can find a reason to clamp down on him, they probably would look for it. I'm not defending him. I'm not saying I know any more than anyone else. But it sounds to me, you know, like he would represent a fairly big interest for those who are interested in law enforcement and regulation and clamping down and getting in the way of ordinary people just doing their thing on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it is the system versus crypto at this point in time.
Right.
I can tell you right now, as operating as a crypto provider in South Africa and the EU and the UK, the banks hate you, and understandably so, right? I mean, there's a high money laundering risk because they're not, you know, used to understanding, or they don't quite understand exactly how transactions occur. So to them, they see this as a high risk. People are just, you know, putting money into the platforms and it's disappearing, and that's all deemed to be money laundering, which is a bit strange. But don't get me wrong. I mean, crypto definitely, you know, isn't the shining knight. It does have this dark past with the likes of Silk Road and all the rest. But I mean, it is quite remarkable, right? You've had the likes of the Chinese government clamp down really hard on mining. You've had the U.S. government clamp down recently, and that's driven a lot of firms out into some weird and wonderful places like the British Virgin Islands and the Cayman Islands and all the rest. The U.K. and Europe, generally speaking, have also clamped down, so they've introduced their own crypto regulations. South Africa's been slow, but we're getting there. So there is a regulatory clampdown occurring, and yet still this is a category that is getting more press attention and is growing every single year. I mean, the average growth rate of cryptocurrency as an asset class is 180% per year compounded annually over the last 7 years. I mean, there's no other asset class out there that's kind of growing at this rate. And that's a long-term trend, right? So, I mean, you take this to a hedge fund or a pension fund and you say, listen, this is the numbers. Like, forget about what the asset class is. This is the numbers. Would you want to invest? And they'd be saying, well, this is better than Tencent. This is better than Alibaba. This is better than any of the big players. Actually, just as I say, Tencent and Alibaba, I mean, think about what's going on in China right now. I mean, this is a huge use case for crypto. Governments are stepping in saying, listen, no, you're not allowed to do this. We are essentially claiming the entire private educational industry as a government-run institution or government-run institutions. And, you know, if there's ever a use case for some sort of a decentralized, non-sovereign type of entity or program, I mean, there you go, right?
I have to ask you, I mean, I'm so pleased you brought up that banks hate the cryptocurrency people, because banks and old government kind of institutionalized wealth, those people are not happy where they're not in control. And really, if you ask the average person, do they love banks and do they love governments? Only the really stupid people will say yes. Am I wrong?
No, of course. I mean, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, right, I mean, of course, it's like the postman liking Gmail or like the early days of internet, right? Obviously, emails taking away their business.
Yeah.
Now, what I think is really interesting is, you know, we're in discussions with a few different banks to offer crypto as a product on their platform because they're looking over at PayPal and they're looking over at Square in the US and they're saying, well, these guys are making a lot of money from this. How can we offer it? Even the likes of Vodafone, you know, you go to your Vodacom app or your MTN app, even them, they're actually looking at offering this so you can buy Bitcoin or Ethereum using your airtime. I mean, this is all happening in the background.
But Sean, let's not bullshit ourselves that they're doing that because they really care about the new technologies or they're looking for opportunities. They do it for two reasons. Number one, because they're terrified that this is going to mean extinction for them. So they're really just covering their own backsides. And the other thing is they see the huge kinds of profits that you're talking about being made here, and they feel like they're missing out. So it's they're negatively motivated on both fronts, and that should always make you suspicious. Just like they're suspicious of cryptocurrency, we should be suspicious of them.
Oh, definitely. I mean, again, what are they trying to do? They're trying to optimize for the amount of money that they're making. They want to make as much cash as possible.
Yeah.
Introducing something that a lot of people want, great way to do it, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. So what other updates do you have for us for this week? Because you mentioned China and, you know, cryptocurrency did come under quite a lot of pressure for at least the last 2, 3, 4 months. And I see that it's steadily crept back up to just under $40,000. In fact, today we're looking at $38,000, which is not bad for a Bitcoin. What do you see as the trends going forward? Are there any big obstacles in the road, or are there things that you're particularly excited about? I know people are more interested in maybe some of the smaller cryptocurrencies at the moment than they are in Bitcoin. But what do you see as the kind of unfolding of the rest of this year? Because we've heard all kinds of claims, people saying it's going to go to $100,000. We've got people who are wildly predicting the failure of it. Do you think it's just settling into a comfort zone now?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. It is just getting into a position where people are more comfortable with the prices. What's really interesting as well is that you've seen over the last 4 or 5 months, the biggest migration of crypto mining rigs, which is something that a lot of people don't really talk about, but it is the biggest price driver in the crypto space, because that is the supply side of the supply versus demand equation. And all the miners, I mean, just so a bit of context here. So there was about 65% of all Bitcoin mining occurring in China. Why? Because there's cheap hydropower, there's solar power, there's other power there as well. So it's just a really cheap sort of source, and especially in South China. And that's recently had to move over to other countries. Why? Because the Chinese government has outlawed crypto mining.
Yeah.
And most of these mining rigs have moved over to Texas, believe it or not, because again, cheap electricity. And that migration is a very expensive exercise. It's expensive to move mining rigs. Often you actually have to just buy new mining rigs. It also means that there's a period of time when these miners which are introducing new Bitcoin into the market are actually offline. And what that's meant is that these miners who are holding really big reserves are having to sell them into the market. So you've seen a very big increase in supply from the miners. Mm. And you're talking, you know, 4 or 5 times the average daily amount of supply coming onto the market. And now that's occurred. So over the next 3 or 4 months, that's going to be behind us. You're going to have new mining rigs set up. Most of the Chinese miners would have moved over to Texas and, you know, some other weird and wonderful places. And I think then all of a sudden you're sitting in this game of saying, well, is there more demand than supply? And that's what drives prices higher. Mm-hmm. So over the long term, will there be more demand than supply? My thoughts are yes. But again, we just don't know, right? I mean, looking at smaller cryptocurrencies, like, of course, there's a lot of up and comers. Binance Coin's up about 1,200% over the last year. Cardano's up 700%. Wow. These are cryptos that are coming from a far smaller base than the likes of Bitcoin or Ethereum. So there's a lot more upside potential. But again, you just can't pick which one. And that's why, I mean, we sit here with this top 10 bundle. We say that's our best thesis in terms of how to get exposure to this market. We believe that a diversified product that provides exposure to the space at a low cost is what you should be investing in. So I'm going to keep saying that week on week. It's unfortunately important. Sort of the boring thing, but it's what we believe in.
You know what people say? It's being important, being prime in people's mind, and repetition of the message. And really, I mean, you've been very consistent about this. Is you need to diversify just like you would into shares in the stock market, or into a property portfolio, or into gold, or into anything else. You need to also diversify your crypto holdings. And the best way to do that, in my experience, and I am a client and I am a fan of what you guys do at Revix. So go and sign up if you haven't already. Revix Invest is their handle on social media. That's R-E-V-I-X Invest on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also sign up at Revix, R-E-V-I-X.com for free. You verify your ID, you add some funds, whatever you want to add. You don't have to add all your money. In fact, we would be we'd be giving you terrible advice if we said add all your money to anything. And go and try it out. Start with a small amount of money and see where it goes. You've got nothing to lose. You might have some things to gain. Go for it. All right, Sean, nice to see you, man. Thanks very much.
Brilliant, guys. Just have a good day today.
By the way, are you the only person in the office at this time right now?
No, we've got two offices in the same building. The one downstairs is for the devs, where the customers don't come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's packed at the moment. Okay. And they generally like to start work a little earlier in the day. And then the office upstairs is quiet. So it's just me here.
Yeah, I always like getting to the office sometimes when there's no one else there, and you get so much done.
You do. So some people are good at working at night. Some people are good at in the morning. I'm far better in the morning. I'm terrible at night.
Yeah.
So this is my happy place.
Very nice. All right, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
All right.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Sean Saunders, Revix.com. Go and join them and figure out what's going on there. We'll give you updates every week with Sean and his terrific team. Okay. So what we've got coming up in the next hour, we've got old Yaku from Unbundled. We'll talk to him a little bit about his idea to kickstart and to help small and medium enterprises in South Africa. Let me quickly tell you, we talked about diversifying your portfolio, right? South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop, who, of course, bring you Collectomania on a Monday on cliffcentral.com. They are spreading some love again. As you know, they are supporters of 67 Blankets for Nelson Mandela Day. And we actually spoke to them with Carolyn Stain just a couple of days ago, and Alan Demby from the South African Gold Coin Exchange. We spoke to them a couple of weeks ago. Now they are giving all you professionals on LinkedIn the opportunity to nominate someone who is making a difference. And you could win a half-ounce gold Krugerrand worth 15,000 Rand. So what you need to do is go and check out the South African Gold Coin Exchange on LinkedIn. It's your chance to win some gold, people. Gold. Arrgh, didn't you want some gold, me hearties? Get some gold in your gold chest. No, seriously, if you want to win, I mean, 15,000 Rand in gold is no, there's nothing to smirk at. That's something good to have. You will try. Who doesn't want that? Come on, go along to LinkedIn, find the South African Gold Coin Exchange on LinkedIn, and they want you to nominate someone who's making a difference among the professionals that you know on LinkedIn. They will reward you for telling them about that person. You could end up with 15,000 Rand in gold, a half ounce Kruger Rand. That's nice. So go and check it out on their LinkedIn. Lots of people here talking about the banks, which Sean brought up. Michael says the banks want us to store our money with them rather than use them as a funnel to fund and withdraw from crypto accounts. They are being replaced by a digital wallet. Yep. And guess what? Nobody likes to be replaced. The moment they see their successor coming along, they get very antsy. They go, oh, why am I here? What use am I? But the best thing someone told me a long time ago is that unless you are working to replace yourself in whatever job you do. And think about your own job while I say this. Unless you are working to replace yourself and to find someone who can do your job now, you will never go up. You won't move to the next thing until you find someone to replace you doing the thing you do right now. So if you want to keep advancing, You want to keep climbing. You want to keep moving ahead. You need to find someone to eventually take over the responsibilities you have now. And that goes for banks too. If they want to move ahead, they need to find someone to replace them at this level, and they need to move to the next level. Otherwise, they're going to run out of usefulness and out of practical promise and value to ordinary people. Ricochet Music says, if you bought 1,000 Theta, now this is one of the cryptocurrencies I haven't heard of. They were R1.80 in February 2020. You would have multiplied that to 247,500 rand in March 2021. How's that? Sure. It's unbelievable, right?
That sounds unreal.
Yeah. So if you bought, okay, at 100, yes. At 1 rand 80, 1,000 of them, so what would that have been? 1,800. Isn't that right?
1,800 bucks?
No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 1,800 bucks.
You'd now have 247,500 rand? Yeah. I mean, listen, the hindsight is 2020 vision, right? Unbelievable. Morning, world. This is from Mapadima, who says, I just woke up and I'm catching up on the podcast while enjoying my holiday in Cape Town, living my best life. Hydrate. Elbow cough. Nice for you. That sounds great. The difference between a businessman and an entrepreneur is that an entrepreneur works every day to make himself redundant. That's according to Carl. That's a nice way of saying the same thing that I was saying just now. Very good. All right. It is 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a moment or two with a whole lot more. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. You can comment and like on the YouTube channel, but please subscribe and like at the same time. Thank you. CliffCentral.com.